ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When The Science Show began over 50 years ago, Australia was seen as a strange leftover place.
But local science transformed everything. Australia is full of treasures, from birdsong to perhaps the world's first engineers.
That's why The Science Show is always full of surprises.
In the sky, in the lab, and even in your own backyard.
The Science Show, anytime on ABC Listen.
What happens when a whale dies? For these majestic giants of the ocean, and for the entire ocean around them, every death is a big deal. So where do they go? And what happens to their bodies? Well, scientists recently discovered the biggest whale graveyard in the world, and it's not too far off the coast of Western Australia. So let's start there. This is Lab Notes from ABC Radio National. I'm Jonathan Webb, and today I'm speaking with Peter de Kreyf, who's the environment reporter in our own Radio National Science Unit. G'day, Peter.
G'day, Jonathan.
We're going to be talking about whale remains and whale bones and things today, but they're such beautiful big animals. I want to start in the land of the living. What's the closest you've ever been to a whale?
Well, I've been pretty close to a whale shark, which is not technically a whale. Otherwise, it's been very much from the shore or from a boat.
And that must give you a sense of just how big some of these amazing marine creatures can be.
Yeah, it's quite frightening. It's like if a plane became sentient and covered in skin and just jumped into the ocean and started flapping about.
Well, you have been covering this story of the biggest whale graveyard that's ever been discovered. Let's start, I guess, at the beginning of that story. The death of a whale is given this wonderful name, a whale fall. How does this happen?
Yeah, it's always kind of got this ethereal kind of vibe from that name. But a whale fall happens when a whale dies, either from natural causes or, unfortunately, from boat strike. You know, about 20,000 to 30,000 whales die or injured every year from whale strikes.
Gosh.
But death is not the end. The whale, you know, it's huge. It's got very big bones. It's just massive. And it eventually falls down to the bottom of the seafloor where really large scavengers, hagfish, sleeper sharks, if you heard of the Greenland shark, those sort of creatures that specialise in, you know, deep water environments, they come in, they start eating all the soft tissues of the whales over months and months.
So there's sort of waves of different types of life that come over and make the most of this huge deposit on the floor of the ocean.
Yeah, this whole sort of second life, if you would, of a dead whale occurs, where it basically starts to nourish the rest of the ocean. And so after you have all these big predators come in and scavenge off the whale carcass, you start to get smaller organisms that colonise the bones of the whale and the surrounding sediment. There are creatures called bone-eating worms or zombie worms, and that'll last for months or years as they kind of start to break down the smaller pieces. And then there's a sulfophilic phase, so any bones or tissues that are remaining actually start to decompose, and you've got bacteria that sort of breaks down the fats, the lipids in the bones. You know, and then you get sulfur and methane, these kind of gases that get released.
Right.
And then that attracts more bacteria, and that sort of forms these bacterial mats, which then attract things like mussels and other little sort of invertebrates. And this lasts for decades, that sort of stage.
Amazing.
Basically, once all the kind of good nutrients has been extracted, you have what is, I guess, kind of like a rock, like a solid structure that's left. And other things like sea sponges, glass anemones, they might sort of take root on it, and that's just kind of becomes their home.
I mean, it sounds like there would almost be nothing left after all of those successive waves of different types of creatures and bugs, but obviously there is, because there was something for scientists to find. And no doubt there were different parts of this whale graveyard showing different stages of that process, I guess. But where was it, for starters? Where was it and how did they find it?
Yeah, so this is the Diamantina Zone. It's this area about 1,600 kilometres from Perth in the Indian Ocean, middle of the Indian Ocean. And it's just like a series of underwater ridges and trenches, and it gets very deep. It gets down to just past about 7,000 metres around one of its deepest points. So
wow.
That's quite far down.
So that's 7 kilometres under the surface of the ocean. That's most of the way to as deep as the ocean gets, isn't it?
Yeah, it gets up to about 11, I think.
Right.
Of the Mariana Trench.
But these are huge trenches in the Indian Ocean.
Yes, yes. And this is actually over a rather large stretch. This is over about 1,200 kilometres, which sounds, you know, obviously huge, but it's all within this trench.
So they were setting out down to that depth to sort of see what they can find in this Diamantina zone.
Yeah, so it's part of this whole big program, a global trench exploration and diving program that's mainly headed by China's Institute of Deep Sea Science and Engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about checking out all these really deep geological features of our oceans, like the Diamantina zone, which just hasn't really been explored to these depths because they have this really cool sub that can be piloted by people and go all the way down to as much as 11,000 metres deep.
So there are members of this team that get to go down on this sub and explore themselves and seeing it with their own eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's pretty wild. You probably don't want to think about the pressures at those depths, but it sort of feels a bit like, underwater astronauts in a way.
And what's the most significant part of the discovery, do you think?
Oh, well, there's just so much. I mean, I think, you know, we'll probably end up finding more sites like this as well, but you have these bones that just sort of have been sitting there for up to 5 million years.
5 million years?
The 5-million-year-old one was an old beak whale, okay. Pterocetus bengulae. Most of the species here were beaked whale species. They basically look like a cross between a dolphin and like a pilot whale. And then there was a new fossil even. They found a skull of a species they named in this study.
Okay, a whole new species.
Yeah, a whole new species of whale that's extinct.
Okay.
But yeah, a whole new species of beaked whale, which is Pterocetus diamantinae, but is in that same sort of family as that last beaked whale I just talked about. So they're the only two we know of that particular family, but we just, you know, we can see that beaked whales have been around this part of the planet for a very, very long time.
What about the scene down there? So some of them were just fossils that they found lying around, and some of them were active whale falls. What does that look like when you stumble on it with the light of your submersible? Can you paint the scene for us?
It varies whale fall to whale fall, but in some weird ways it's very ethereal, kind of spooky. Depending on what stage it's at, you see quite regularly these really large vertebrae. So, you know, think your spine bones, but a whale's spine bones. There's one image of these sort of splayed out ribs. Kind of looks like angel wings, I guess. Quite chalky and textural, the actual whale, what's left of the whale, but then just covered in all these sort of alien-like. If you ever watch the Alien movies?
I have.
A lot of things like brittle stars and the like kind of look like face huggers. I think that they were probably partially the inspiration from the alien concepts, but that very otherworldly look to these little creatures that I guess they're like a starfish. If it was from an alien world, they have these more wavy arms and then those really kind of gnarly looking mouths if you flip them over, just really ancient, but then from another planet almost, yeah.
I do feel like the bottom of the ocean is the closest we get to what the possibilities of alien life. There's such amazing variety, tube worms and all sorts of peculiar creatures down there.
Yeah.
Given that amazing diversity of life, should we think of these areas where whale falls happen as their own kind of biodiversity hotspot that should be protected?
There is a thought that, you know, yeah, these kind of big, deep trenches that are ecological hotspots, you know, as unique and as diverse as thermal vent areas and other sort of spots around the planet, that we should put some sort of international kind of maritime boundaries around them, perhaps, yeah, leave them off from something like deep sea mining, which we're talking more and more about.
Mm.
But, you know, this might, you know, help point the way for other unique areas, perhaps under known whale habitat, where they might hang around a bit longer to kind of look for these sort of similar geological structures to see if it's caught similar amounts of whales and has similar, you know, ecological values.
Yeah.
But it certainly seems to be a unique kind of areas that might warrant some conservation.
Yeah, not as obvious as a rainforest, but maybe similarly precious. Pete, thank you so much for sharing your lab notes with me.
Thanks.
That was environment reporter Peter de Kreyf from our very own Radio National Science Unit. We'll put a link to his story about this discovery, as well as the paper itself in Nature, on our website. This episode of Lab Notes was made on Gadigal and Ngunnawal and Ngambri country. It was produced by Amy Briggs, and I'm Jonathan Webb. I'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.